our head. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, just thanks for this day, dear Lord, and thanks for the numbers come out, and dear Lord, guide and greatness on this, dear Lord, just guide and greatness and help us make right decisions for our county. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, I know last workshop we started off with the special exemptions, and we didn't talk much about the Airbnb. So, Mr. Mark, we have the Airbnb.
Good.
Yeah, go ahead.
The reason I wanted to discuss Airbnb is number one, I have got a few complaints on Airbnb being rented with people parking on their. If they rent the Airbnb from you, WC rents it from you, you're parking on my property instead of parking where you're supposed to go and then the partying and blah, 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 blah. But I have talked to some people that with Airbnbs that that's how they make money. So I'm not against Airbnbs, but I just want to make sure that what we're doing is we're collecting our bed tax, which I think we are. And if there's any rules and regulations that we need to put in place for Airbnbs, I would like for us to do that. But I've also found out that with Airbnbs, that it's if you have a complaint, you can wager it with them because they got a pretty high standard of what they allow and don't allow. So there is a place an avenue that I did not know about until just recently that if I have a complaint, I can say, hey, call these people and or code enforcement. The county can do the same thing to wager a complaint. But either way, I just want to make sure that people are utilizing their property to where it ain't detrimental to their neighbor and can do what they want to do basically with their property. But even with that, I think there's got to be guidelines to where it ain't detrimental to your neighbor. So that's the reason I wanted Airbnb to put on the workshop.
Yes, I know before we started we had some discussion about our bed tax. And they brought it up and made me understand, I think made all of us understand, that down there in Gina area, they've got a different zip code.
That's another thing, that bed tax is going to Taylor County.
That's right.
It needs to come to Dixie County.
That's exactly the same way in the first district up there.
Going to Bradford.
Exactly. So we got to figure out how to fix that so we get that bed tax.
Yeah. And I did try to do a little quick thing, and I wasn't able to find it in 5 minutes I was looking. But the zip codes are set up based on the area of the country we're at. I did learn a little bit about it in population. All those numbers mean different things. I will research that a little bit further. I do know from the research that I had done once we got the workshop up, because I'm only Mick, y'all got an Airbnb next door to me, but I've not had an issue with them. But I didn't know a whole lot about it, other than that you could go online and rent them, that and the Verbo and a dozen other different types of agencies similar to that. So I have done a little bit of research. We do have many counties throughout Florida who have went back and put some ordinances and restrictions and stuff. Some of them require that the property owner live within a certain range or amount of time from the property. Some require that there only be, you know, one or two vehicles per rental based on, you know, if it sleeps 10, whether they can have one vehicle or 10. They've regulated some of that, but that is kind of based on the county. Now, Airbnb, and I'm only speaking to Airbnb on what I'm saying now because that's the only one I've got the documentation in front of me on. They do collect the tourist developmental tax for a good percentage, 23 counties in the state. So 23 out of 67 counties, they actually collect the bed taxes through their website. So when you go on and you rent an Airbnb, you're paying your bed taxes to Airbnb, and then Airbnb remits the money. That's what we were talking about, whether or not it's actually paid by the zip code. So if I pay to rent a place on the Gina side of Steinhatchee and I'm paying taxes, is it going to the Taylor County side of Steinhatchee you because of the zip code. I can't speak to that. I will try to find out because obviously.
I can think it doesn't speak because Taylor County, you have to send it to them. They don't do like we do. It automatically goes to the state. So you have to send it to them. But when VRBO sends it to you, or if they're for you to send, if you don't send it, they've already sent your 7% in Taylor County, and now Taylor County is looking for their 5%. So therefore, you're obligated to send them their money, or they're going to be calling you on their line.
Yeah. So there is going to be some things that we're learning with this, and you know, I apologize that I'm not an expert in that area, but on the other side of that coin, I'm apart from an expert for most things.
The only reason it doesn't automatically go is because Taylor County. At this time, it's not done like Dixie County has. It automatically goes. They're still wanting you to send their money to them.
So you have an Airbnb down there, right? Okay, and so you know for a fact that your money, you do have to send that money to Taylor County?
That's what they told me.
Right.
So,
okay.
To tax collectors. Nobody has turned the light on and said, hey, this is Gina. This is not even our county. How can their auditing be correct?
Their address is showing it's Taylor County address, so they think it is. Even because they're not pulling up and looking for where the parcel's located. It's like if you've got a P.O. box,
then
they don't know where
you're at. County, then what's the difference?
Yes. But her address is a Taylor County address.
But when it comes to collecting these turn tax and state sales tax, it goes by zip code.
Yeah.
And so they collect and send it to Taylor County.
Crazy. You do everything.
And I have
thought. What? You do everything but that.
And I even told them everything with a southwest address is Dixie County and it.
That was my next question is your 911 address is do we even recognize it if you have a fire ambulance law? Do we recognize that in the case of emergency for that area, or does Taylor County respond?
I don't know because I called Dixie County and request Dixie County if I call 911.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they used to ask, I don't know, they would ask you and they say, oh, you're in Dixie County, we'll switch you. So that would, I guess, automatically go to Taylor County. But I don't think it does that now. You have not been calling 911 before we did. Anyway, we
would
pass Dixie County if it gets
right. Your mailing address, does it have a Fahnachy address? See, and that's what happens is it's a Gina, but it's still Fahnachy 32. Thank you. I can't remember all of them. 3259. So when, no matter what, her mail and everything else is coming through
Fahnachy. Like Ms. Martha said earlier, our tag comes due, comes from Taylor County. When my driver's license comes due or anything like that, it comes from Taylor County.
So all of them fees go to Taylor County?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Then we want to go to the check.
Sorry, of them to smell it back or whatever.
Yeah.
So why would you use the pay up there?
But in the real world of the county, it may still have to go to Taylor. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We probably, yeah.
Because, you know, I can pay it somewhere else, but it still goes to the county that
the address is still present.
Yep.
The only other thing I want to share, and one of the things that, from me looking online and different things, Florida requires that all vacation rentals in the state be licensed through the Division of Business and Professional. When you pull up DBPR, there is not one that I found, unless it's since I checked it about a month ago when we first started talking about this, there's not one listed that I've seen on the professional website having a license as a Airbnb or what they call transit rental, which means that, you know, different people sleep in there at less than a month.
That was going to be my question. I was going to ask how they regulated or where do you go get the license to have an Airbnb and all that stuff. For the county, for the state, who regulates?
But
who has
that is, that's it. The Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulations require a license.
Saying all the ones that's operating in Dixie County don't even have a, they're not legal.
You supposedly can go on this search site, and of course I wish we had everything set up where everybody can see, but I'm not the computer person either. But when you pull it in and you do a search, because they've got what they call dwelling applications and condo applications. Now, I did check both of them just in case I wasn't on the right one. Under the condo applications, you get the big motels and hotels we got and the big condos down on the coast. Those are all registered and they got their license. Because, of course, I got to have them posted and they get inspected. But most of our Airbnb, Verbos, and all these other independent places, I didn't see a one. I mean, and it's not like I'm looking through pages. You can pull it up and there's like one page about 6 or 10 places, depending on, because, you know, we don't have that many hotels or anything else even. So I didn't see any. Now, so far as they absolutely don't have them, but I'm not seeing them recorded.
Do you think they're missing money? I mean,
I think, you know, as far as, and it's not real prohibitive as far as the fee for getting that license. It's pretty nominal as far as the fees go. I want to think it was 50 or 100, but like I'm saying, here it is. For the application fee is $50 for a 1 to 4 units. Make sure I'm in the right one. That's apartments. I'm sorry. Here's the transit. But, I mean, they charge by capacity. But, again, this is all broken down. It all falls under hotels and restaurants. All of this Airbnb and these vacation rentals all fall under your hotel and restaurants law under the professional business organization area. But the application fee is like $50. And then based on the capacity, then, of course, the yearly fee is based on that, whether if it ranges, you know, from pretty much nothing up to about 501 or more rentals for a full year is like $295. So
do you do that?
I'm a broker, so all my properties, most of mine do have their own, but they're contentious. They won't put it up. But they fall under my license under a blanket, so... That's
where mine are covered. Right. That's the reason I'm saying I can't speak to the fact that they absolutely don't have license, but when you search it, we don't have any in Dixie County showing.
We just moved up here from Polk County, and I ran a property management business for vacation rentals, and we have the umbrella for the state license. It's cheaper for the homeowner to get an umbrella, but it would show my business name and the number of properties that I had under my umbrella that I was paying BPDPR, but I also had to get the houses registered in the county. Now, they had to have a county license along with the state license. That county license was like $27 a month, and they based, when you send in your license for the county license, the paperwork for the county license, they also talk to the bed tax or the tourist development tax side of the house. And if you had a license, you had to report every single month, even if it was a zero in income, you had to report that so they could track it. And if you didn't, then you got a $50 fine or whatever, whichever one was greater, 10% or whatever, the rental income. And they were tracking because the rental income comes to the it was 6% in Polk County. And I paid that to the state each month, and I paid 7% for the, 10% to the state, 6% to the county, until Airbnb started paying the state tax for us, and they've now worked into paying the county tax. But if these homeowners don't have their homes registered, that's a lot of money that they're missing out on. I just stopped at the tax collector's office coming in here and asked, if you own a beauty salon, you have to have a license. But if you have an Airbnb, they don't know. I don't know if you have to have a license.
That was purpose to this.
Yeah.
Well, that will segue right into our tourism development right there.
Yep.
So, is any of that going on?
Not right now. I'm Kay McAllister, Director of Tourism Development. I've also done some research in it. I do not have a property listed in any of those places. So in some of the research, you had to have you had to have your property name and all that stuff to really get into some of the details. But I also talked to a company, an outside company, called GovOS, who assist counties in taking care of this. I don't think we're a county that we need to, they handle big counties. You know, I think what she's saying, we definitely need to do something, but I think we could possibly handle it here in doing. I mean, my thoughts were, and listening to this gentleman, getting information from him too, is that you identify the rentals, you go on these sites, you know, you might see 65 of them, but half of them on the other side of the river, half of them are in Steen Hatchie. You're going to have someone that can definitely look at the location, identify the rental, I think having a business license.
And I looked, and I'm seeing hundreds.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing 65. I'm seeing more like 500 or 600 when you type in Dixie County, or if you type in Old Town or Suwanee or any of these cities, you're going to get hundreds. You're not going to get 65.
But there is a map if you look at some, a lot of them the other
areas. Some of them are a little bit further out. I limited it to like a 35-mile radius. But even with that, you know, I realize it's not absolute. But I do believe there's probably at least, you know, several hundred in our community.
And those are the ones that are reporting.
Right. Those are the ones that call this site.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. You know, so they're at least paying their 60%.
But we've got places in this county that are renting out their houses, their trailers, whatever, and you're not seeing a penny.
And, I mean, we don't. A lot of these people, I've talked to a couple of realtors, are people that, you know, are in the business and also do vacation realtors. And, you know, for some people, that's the only way they can have a house in Suwanee or in Horseshoe. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to make it so it's unaffordable for these people to do that. But we do want to be sure that we get the taxes to the correct place, the correct amount. And that we have a registered emergency number. So if there is a complaint or a fire or something, we have a record, which we also would give to EMS and such, you know, of that emergency number. Possibly, like you said, you know, that we would have, I know we don't have business licenses, as far as I know, in this county. But it would basically be like a business license or a listing. And even if they really got a listing and really did it, there's no reason why we couldn't put them, the tourism development, couldn't put them on the Visit Dixie website. I mean, you know, we'd want to try to help them also in exchange for them, you know, giving us the information and having a listing. Other things that they said would be important also is a letter of rental standards. For instance, do they have a fire? Do they have a smoke alarm in their house? Different things that we want to protect the individual, but we don't want to get to a point where we're liable for it either.
Well, and that is one thing that Airbnb and Verbo and all of them that I've seen, they do have contracts that the owner has to sign, and they have to have, and I know from looking at an Airbnb in my private practice application, they will tell them you've got to have, you know, how many sets of silverware, how many sets of linen. It's broken down. Everything that that home has to have in order to qualify as an Airbnb rental. So it is very specific on that, and, you know, fire extinguishers and all the safety equipment, of course, is listed. So that is one good thing about the ones that are listed with Airbnb. Now, how that, I think it's all self-reported, though. So, again, I don't have, when I reviewed the contract for the person I reviewed it, they didn't have an inspection to make sure they had all this stuff. I think it was all self-reported. Me saying, yes, I have fire extinguishers. Yes, I have this.
One of the best inspections or on that side of it, I see, is Airbnb also does a star, you know, like a one star up to five stars. So the actual person
is
doing that also. Hey, this there, this there, this there, then they go back and grade them or rate them, whatever.
Back also, you know,
right.
Like, you know, this Airbnb's next to the airport. It's,
right.
You know, this kind of stuff. So, you know, you do get some of that kind of feedback off of these Airbnbs. So you do have a little bit more information about those than we do some of the, what I'll call them, rogues, for lack of another way of saying it, these that we're just running our own business and not advertising through an agency. I post mine on Facebook, and you can come rent it, and I don't have any checks about it.
We got a young lady right here who wants to speak.
I'm the owner of a single family residence, and I have a
vacant
lot next to a single family residence zone. What I'm concerned about is somebody coming in, possibly getting a special exemption, putting a trailer on that, and then having, you know, a large amount of people come and rent that. Are we looking at coming up with any ordinances to limit the maximum capacity of these Airbnbs? Is there any type of noise ordinance? Because some of these are going to be in a neighbor, you know, with small children trying to get up to school in the morning. So I'm just a little concerned that I want people to be able to make money. I understand that my sister has, you know, a home that she has accommodations to share and say, yeah, sure, guess what, she can afford her house. But at the same time, we don't have any parameters at all. Something come in, and then you've got, you know, a really bad situation right in the middle of the neighborhood.
That was my concern. That's the reason, honestly, we're having this discussion right now, is and the board's concern. The board's concern.
I have a noise ordinance in the county to address that, or a maximum occupancy.
Yeah.
If somebody could rent it and bring in 50 people.
You got another young man back here in back.
Appreciate Pete calling. So, as a super host of Airbnb, that's something you want to protect as you know, a label. You have guest codes. They absolutely will report and, you know, and you don't want anything negative said about yourself, but I have seen with different people, there was bulldogs running in the neighborhood. And you'll lose your status over that. So you're constantly worried about what your neighbors are doing and what things look like if you're a conscientious manager. Now, how you legislate conscientiousness, I'm not 100% sure. But when you have that appellation as a super host, you don't want the You don't want people coming in there and even causing problems with your neighbors, because then the next time the neighbors are going to say something to the people that get there, and they're going to say, oh, well, the neighbors are rude. So there is definitely an incentive towards excellence, but how you get that, that's kind of the problem.
You also get to the owner also get to grade the people. If you have complaints on the people who came in, you also get to say, I will not rent these people in, and it's public out there. So,
that's
it, yeah.
Only people renting out their storage space. In Chiefland, they've got people renting out their 10x12 storage shed as an Airbnb. Pop that website.
On this website that y'all going on and getting all this information, they don't have to provide any kind of information that they have the state license.
Okay.
They've done all that to be on that, or you can just call up and say, I got an Airbnb.
If you take your pictures and apply for it, and they put it on,
I mean, Airbnb. It's not like me. We've got something going on. We have no regulation. The county has no grasp of what, no kind of checking on it or regulating it. It sounds like the ones that the division of hotels, restaurants, and whatever,
yeah,
they're not really out there pushing regulation either, so.
And that's where, you know, just like anything else, I'm sure it's the manpower. They don't want to come out and go to every, knock on every door and Dixie tell you have an extra bed you're renting out. But likewise, if you do a Google search on Airbnbs or Vrbo or any of these others, you're going to get a list. And, you know, I did one, and one of the first pictures that popped up was a very nice RV. It was under a shed, had a nice little gravel yard, little trail made enough to it. And I'm like, that's interesting. It was in Dixie.
Not even if it is a registered Airbnb.
I know that, but I mean, you know, I'm like, okay. But this, you know, it does happen. And it's so simple to see it. And like I say, when you pull it up, there's hundreds of them. And you can just scroll to your heart's content and you go, whoa, I didn't know that was in Dixie County. Because some of them are really nice places. And then, you know, because most of them, at the very least, the pictures are good. They took a good picture of that.
There you go.
Sort of like in your driver's license picture. Most of us don't want to show that picture. You know, we'll go to a motorcycle.
The problem with that is most people are in assumption when they go on that site that these facilities have them. They are have a license. They do have all the safety equipment and they've been through all this.
And see, Airbnb.
At the end of the day, if something happens, somebody's going to be liable.
And Airbnb, they're doing their part to, you know, and staying out of the radar would be my guess because they're paying in their little, you know, taxes to the state. And the state says, oh, okay, well, they've got, you know, 1,000 rentals. They paid in their 7% because they're having to mark theirs, I'm sure.
I'll bet you different. I bet you a $100 bill. And if they're advertising on that site and they're not licensed and all that, they ain't paying their taxes.
Well, the other thing is paying the state tax, if you're paying under an umbrella, the state doesn't get a list of addresses that money's coming from. It's one lump sum coming from that management company or the
broker.
Whereas the county, when I paid it, I had to list every single address. Because the right hand doesn't talk to the left hand. The state does not talk to the counties and go after and remind them that, oh, I got my money, but did you get yours?
But the state does audit.
Yeah.
And then they want to make sure that money for 32359 went to that.
Well, and it depends on the audit. I ran a business for 12 years, and we never heard from the state in 12 years. So.
When you have hurricanes and stuff that come in, and you get little things, and they want to come in, they check.
But I know with Airbnb, the Superhost status we're talking about, that's front page. That's the ones where people pull up Airbnb, Old Town. Your house will pop up first because people aren't going to scroll 30 pages to find a place to stay. And if they lose that super host, they're either knocked down to page 44 and never to be found again. And if one person complains about there wasn't enough silverware and the pictures weren't true to what was on the website, they lose their status. So they do try very hard to do what they're supposed to as far as the house goes. And all it takes is for one person, a neighbor, to call Airbnb and complain about 100 people, and we had one of those. That sold $25 tickets for a weekend, and there were 500 people come and go in this one Airbnb over the weekend. And he called, and they were taken down, and they weren't allowed to do it anymore. So there's a little bit of control, but the county needs to get a license, a local business tax receipt, so we can collect a license fee. Run the business, or at least the people think we're looking at.
I feel like here in Dixie, it still could be under control a little bit if we go ahead and act now. I think it's going to continue to increase. I think we need to set something up now. I would suggest that we contract with someone that has the computer knowledge, possibly. I'm the director. I'm not on the whole board now. Possibly through tourism tax funds, using a lot of that to contract because it's going to make a big difference in our tourism. I mean, I think it will pay over still. Pay for the person doing it.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of funds that we would possibly secure that we're losing. Now, you know, as far as the state, you know, Regina, the taxes would go over there. You know, that might be above PDC level that, you know, something needs to be done possibly from the Board of County Commissioners there, but I think we should try to figure out a way to do a licensing, a listing, and find out which ones are the super hosts. Again, this is stuff that I've never had a listing, I don't know, and give information to some of these people as to what needs to be on there.
And one thing I would recommend, based on what you're saying, is that if you do, you get a license, that's a requirement. That's not a maybe. If you want to run a business, you have a license. If you want to be listed, because you've gone involved in someone having to add that to a website, which is going to involve probably the website growing, is that they have to pay for any listing, and it's rented out just the same as if I put an ad in the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to do something like that, otherwise you've just eaten into any monies that you might would recover and the time it's going to take you to take that person to add those individuals to try to keep that list current and all this kind of stuff. Whereas if it's on me and I'm paying to stay on your list, then I'm going to be reaching out to you. Are you going to be taking me off your list? It's very much like some of the other issues we talked about. Like, if you don't pay, you don't play.
Mm-hmm.
And in
yeah,
the store.
Yeah. I think we should definitely have a fee besides, like, set aside the regular business fee. Not major amount, you know, maybe the same as the business fee, $25 or something like that. To be left. What kind of fees do you remember when they started?
$27.50 for the county.
Okay.
Yearly, monthly?
That was a month.
Yearly?
But then you paid, you said a monthly fee also, right, per place?
They paid the tourist development tax on the rentals. But they got that license once a year. They send out the applications to everybody. They paid the $27.50. They send it back to the
company. They didn't maintain a list or anything like that as far as for advertising or anything.
But their B&B takes a percentage of their
exactly.
For the advertising real estate. I think that would probably be a slippery slope with the advertising on a county website for private business. I don't know.
That's just throwing that out. That would like give them something. And mm-hmm. Sorry for the making this, I heard, but just the possibility of being able to operate could be what we're in.
Let's say that again. Where I'm putting my mouth.
Private business.
Uh-huh.
If we do them... them on the county website, you're...
Okay, now that you said that, I understand what you're saying. So you're saying a private business advertised on a tourist development thing. So, but really and truly, if you're running a private business and you buy a license, everything the county does is public records. So anyone can pull your record.
Yes.
So why would it hurt to do that?
Because the taxes are paying for the website.
Yeah, but still.
That's not...
But how would you research a license any other way?
I mean, possibly just we had just what I was thinking was just a separate page. We have, you know, all of the RV resorts. All those people are on their private businesses or their registered businesses that are on the Visit Dixie site. You know, we should have one page that somebody could click on.
Polk County
has a list, but
when you're doing rental, it's a different tax, a transit rental tax, and that goes for tourism only. So I don't see where that would be a big deal for you to get advertising.
I don't
know if we did a transient tourist.
Bed tax, the transient.
Oh, is that what the bed tax is?
It's not really. It is, but it's not. They don't call it. Yeah. But there is a transient tax that goes with it. They collect 6%. I think it is per county on that.
Our county is 3%.
Is it 3? That's what I was trying to find it here in the notes. But you do pay a transit tax.
Polk County had a website, polkcounty.org, and anybody can log on to that website, type in the address if they thought it was a vacation rental, type in that address, and it would show on there their license number for the county.
So it's legal. We just answered your question. If Polk County can do it, Dix County can do it.
Well, yeah.
I have to make sure that they're listening. Yeah. Well, I was
talking about a different kind of website.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
If we had that, you could just type in whatever. You could do it by the parcel address. You could do it by the name.
Number of different
address,
ways.
And you can call anybody's property up anywhere. So if you have someone to spare for a few hours, they could sit there and type in addresses that they think are short-term or rental properties, find out where the people live. If they're not living there, but they've got a house on there and there's people in there, something's going on.
Steve would be busy again.
Steve will get consistent.
I think we need to come up with a number for a license fee, and then the license can handle a lot of the issues in order to get a license. You have to be registered with the state. division of all that stuff and be registered to be able to get the license, and that would handle a lot of the issues that we're talking about with this. We just come up with a yearly license.
I agree with that.
Price for a license. Over here.
We got a young man right here with Paul.
I got a couple issues. One, my own personal. The other thing is become personal. What this lady's talking about. Can y'all understand me? I'm toothless.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So, what she's saying about somebody living in an empty place, you got people watching right up my street. I picked up a couple of them on tax liens, waiting for the auction. There's an old camp shack, the old thing. Big piles of junk all around. You go to neighboring properties, got some junk, but they're living there. They're project people or whatever. You know. And there's a derelict trailer home on the next lot. They have to cut those two lots and they have them cleaned up and do something with them. If not, if nothing else, just prep them for the mobile home or the stick built. I have questions, what you can and can't do, like everybody else. I was thinking at one point about a yurt.
A what?
A yurt. A yurt. On fire. A yurt. Okay. So the issue is there's people in a home that is 8 years vacant home, old trailer, camper, wood shack on it, and whoever's been there, you know, what do you want to call them? Junkies, shrubbies coming and going. There was a young lady and a tent, and I was told by a deputy she's paying rent. One of your neighbors on a lot. Now, that's not Airbnb, and they're not registered, and there's none of that. But at any rate, I'm glad to see that this young person that was homeless in a tent, I think is now resigned and borrowed or whatever she's doing, that they're allowing her to stay in an old RV on one of the neighbor's property. And I don't know if they're paying taxes or whatnot there. It's a little better. One person, one issue. There's a little less. But advances running around because, one, I came in and got an oversized RV lot, and I spent a lot of time cleaning it up. Mr. Stevenson here tore down the old trailer house that I hear was used as a local county, what's the term, county house, I guess I found out. But my neighbor cleaned up, I don't know how many layers and levels of trash and junk and needles and what have you, or what was ever there that people call home. Here's, I don't mean nothing against Mr. Code Enforcement here. You know, you're all county and it's kind of lax, and you got handfuls of people that are qualified to sit up there. And you only got
sir, let me interrupt you a minute. I'm going to make a point now. Okay? First of all, Mr. Code Enforcement, Steve works very hard on his code issues. Well, what you apparently don't understand is it may take years to get it done. So there's so many people hollering about what ain't being done, don't have a clue to the money that the county's spending trying to get it done, to clean it up, you know. So I just want y'all to understand the laws of the land that we have to abide by. Criminals and wrongdoers don't have to abide by. And so it's very hard to get things done in a timely manner, which we all want. So I just want you to make sure you know that's the issue.
When one neighbor cleaned up an area, I cleaned up an area. Now, my current issue here, why I'm here today, is not about Airbnb. I don't want to rent nothing else. If I do anything on any other lot, so I might get to put home prepping for somebody who owns an affordable place. I don't need to get a rent up for somebody for a little money. My main point of being here today, that's why for a variance.
We fixing to get to that next. We talking about Airbnb right now. We gonna get to the RV special exemption in just a minute. We gonna finish the Airbnb first.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about Airbnb right now, then we'll talk about the RVs.
So, I do have a question yet about this issue. I'll get my hands on these lots, but I turn off. If I don't, somebody else hits me, which wouldn't be hard, because I'm not going to bid up on them. busy with my own thing, but my concern is, you know, you have people that are technically homeless running around in a neighborhood where we're not rich people for the most part, living in RV, most of us are smaller homes or mobile homes. For the most part, we're good working people, retired people. They try to keep their places happy, decent, or make them better.
Mm-hmm.
Try to get along good as neighbors, no matter politics, religion, or how you feel. When you have people that come by, for instance, just the other night, I come from a ground shift helping a vet bring a bike home, South Carolina. I'm trying to sleep in my little camper for the clients, and then later I'm nodding off, and somebody's at my door. I don't go for my gun. I go to the door, talking like in my hand. Nobody comes to my door. They're scared in my yard. It ain't light enough yet for them. Well, I want to make the light. But at any rate, I go to the door, and there's some hooligan. I don't hear them. You know, it's a good day I didn't have my gun. Because about the third time he said the wrong house, I said, you got 2 seconds to get back over the gate. I got to have an 8-10-foot fence to keep these people out. I do have barbed wire. It's going up, too. Well, I took lights up. They're all going to get a check.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
How in the hell can we help you with that? That's law enforcement. We're talking about rental properties and RVs. How can we keep someone from not
paying? They're not paying taxes.
That's what we're having this for.
That's what we're having this for.
So just that's enough.
Yeah.
Go to the next man.
Another thing I wanted to say about the license and that website. Because you can't apply for a county license until you can show proof you got your state license.
That's what I just iterated.
And then on the website, when you look at polkcounty.org or and plug in the address, it shows both state and county license. And you can look it up.
Back in the back.
If you come up with a license, did you want these people to get a license for their Airbnb? What is going to inspire them to get one? Why should they bother? What advantage is it to them to get a license once we get a license,
something in place, like having a license, and then at that point, then the TDC or somebody in those areas can go on that website and say, hey, we've got a registered Airbnb that don't have a license, not paying bed tax or whatever, and someone can go. Knock on that door.
There's a fine by the state. It's like $5,000 a day if they catch you without a license.
I thought ours was $200.
And there's probably regulations through the division of restaurants and all that stuff that regulates that.
Yeah,
it can be notified also.
We got Mr. Lee on here wants to say.
So I've got a question. Where do you draw the line saying it's Airbnb versus a place to rent them on? Well, if you got some people that have rentals,
Six months is the cutoff.
Okay, it says in one of the definitions I've got here, if renting an entire unit for more than 3 times in a calendar year for periods of less than 30 days or one calendar month, whichever is less, or if it's advertised or held up to the public as a place regularly rented to guests, then at that point it's what they call a transit dwelling.
So that people would have to...
Because you know Steve's going to get the phone calls that he, that their landlord doesn't have this or that or this. Make sure...
We word it right.
He's complaining. So anyway, it's... Want me to look into it more, or if we can together, maybe I'd love to help put together a type of a program.
Yeah.
I think in order for the city to be able to enforce it, though, we've got to have some regulations, some ordinance, some kind of code, because he can't go out and enforce something that there's no guidelines for.
Yeah, if you're written down somewhere,
yeah. Show different rules. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is that we've got to develop something, you know, that gives him some teeth.
We might have to advertise so that people know that we're doing it.
Well, here's the thing. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. Literally, we got to get something going in motion, and you can always make it better as you go, but we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Jody hit the nail on the head with the licensing. I mean, that's a heck of a good start. There's a, I ain't going to say a cookie cutter out there because everything's different, but there's programs out there. Y'all know them. We got people that's doing this that's willing to lead, guide, and direct. And so I don't understand. It ain't got to be perfect. We want it perfect, but it ain't got to be perfect.
Sarah?
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to bring out that the scholars that we get every year, they're already paying the 5% because that's on the website because of the reason with our zip code. So there is an incentive maybe potentially we can raise ours. It's not going to – the scholars aren't going to know the difference. If they're, on her website, it is the 5% because that's what Neal County requires. 60 is only 3. So there's some income potential that we can get through our church department too.
And
at least in Gene, I know we all know the difference.
I'll research the statute a little bit
to
see where we are with that.
And the zip code.
The time limits when we can go up and
such
like that.
But yeah, and the zip code stuff, that
would
be a good one to look at, too.
Yeah. We done with the Airbnb. Any more questions on Airbnb? All right, let's move down to the RV special exemption. All right, I do know we got a young man in here that brought it to my attention. He's bought this piece of property. He's already got his special exemption, but he's got the land cleared, nice, beautiful piece of property, fixing to spend some more money on it. But he wants to put a, what we call a pole barn, just poles, so he can drive his $100,000+ mobile home underneath it when he's here, because he don't want that $100,000 mobile home.
RV
sitting out in the sun. So I got questions on that. I know a couple of weeks ago, Mr. Leon wasn't here. We got slammed a bunch of people, and I turned down a person that wanted this. Okay. Then I talked with Mr. Leon, and he says, well, if we allow this, they got to get their permit to put the pole barn up, correct, Mr. Leon? So they could park their camper underneath. We have a trail there. So if we do go by there and they got something built on that besides the pole barn, then we can shut them down. And Mr. Leon made me understand that. So he says that would be good for us because if you put a pole barn there so they could put their camper underneath, that's more improvement to the land. That would be more taxes on that property. Correct, Mr. Leon?
That's always an option for us. We're looking at a paper trail and more items that we can document. Just like what it's supposed to be and not supposed to be. Helps us tremendously later on.
So I know I got some questions about that.
I do, too, because I got a fellow that submitted a site plan to Leon. You know what I'm talking about. He submitted the site plan to our building and zoning, and his process was the RV special exception. And then when he got that, because Leon, like he said, was a paper trail, then he went to the pole barn to protect his investment. So now he's in limbo because –
I got one, too, yeah.
You know, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's the same scenario as that. So
my question, go ahead. My question is, I turn one down. If we go forward with this, what do I need to go do? Because these other people wanted one, and I turned it down. Could we redo that if we go forward with this and allow this? For me to redo my turning it down so they could get their pole barn.
Yes, you can redo it.
Yep. Okay. Definitely.
Yes. And you want to.
Exactly.
If we come up with something that works, we want the people that didn't get it to be able to
come back and get it. Exactly.
Yeah. And then I don't think they need to pay another $300.
No, that's right. That's
you
right.
Know? And I mean,
here's the thing, honestly, like you're talking about, WC, to me, I don't know of very many pole barns that's ever been turned down. Really, truly. I mean, we might have one or two.
And I know we had issues about them
building on
getting it for one thing, and then directly you go by there and they drop walls on it and what have you. And I don't think hardly any people intend to do that. Sometimes situations change and plans change and you do what you got to do. But whatever we do, I think we all agree that every Dixie Countyan or anybody that comes to Dixie County is entitled to the same
treatment.
You know.
I know we got some hands raised out here.
Yeah, I bought land out here with you. Because you guys allowed the artists. So I've been going through the process, got my driveway permit, got my 911 address. 2 weeks ago, you guys just approved a septic system for me. So,
wait a minute. We don't approve the health department, right?
I had to go to the building department 2.5 weeks ago and have a lady sign a piece of paper, and I'd take that paper down to whoever gave me the septic system. I got that approval, so here I am in limbo, spent $25,000 on the property, I spent $3,000 in the driveway, I still got to put over, I'm in limbo, so now what?
Do you have your exemption already or no?
You don't get that until you
get everything in.
Your septic in, pay the $7,500 for the well.
There's no stipulation that all has to be done before you apply for your RV.
You have to
do that first.
So I've got a packet.
Wait a minute.
You got to have the permit for the tank and the septic system.
Yeah.
So that you can prove that you can have patient there. So they issued a permit for a motorhome or one bedroom. And that's what it said. Really, it was great. So I've been going through their steps in their order from their packet that they gave me. So I guess evidently I haven't paid the $300 that I should have paid before I started doing all the work. I can't be the only one.
Is that right, Leon?
What?
Pay the $300 and get the permit.
Okay.
Then apply for the special exception.
They just hand you a packet. You go in there, they hand you a packet with almost no information.
Once he gets all his checklist, then he turns in his application.
Mm-hmm.
There.
But you're saying you already had the septic and all done?
I just got the permit.
Got the permit to do it.
So I've been working down their list of items for about 6 months, working with the city and for the county and now on.
But in the building department's defense, also, it's like it's told to everybody that picks up the application that that's not you.
So they want you to spend $20,000 developing a lot with...
No, we don't want you to do anything, buddy. You do whatever you want to do. But I would research the property and all that it came to before I paid a dime for it.
Well, I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
Some property in Dixie is not buildable. If you haven't done your research, you could be purchasing a piece of property that you can't build on. I mean, we've got quite a bit of property in Dixie that is non-buildable property. So that all goes back to the owner doing due diligence. No, and you didn't do that. But what I'm saying is that goes back to anything else. Just like Mr. Leon said, he's not guaranteeing.
He had to put in a driveway. So you're accessing that piece of property right there.
See, even if you do all that and you apply for that special exemption, they'll send out letters to your neighbors. And if your neighbors, people around in your community, in your little area, says, no, we don't want the campers in there. No, we oppose that. And they come right up here, guess what? You ain't going to get that. We have them every day. We had one this morning to do it. The man's sitting in here right now. So I told him to come back so he can learn more about it. That's just the way it goes. Everybody does not get that special exemption.
So how come they don't make it clear that don't... I was under the understanding.
Who told you?
I was one day away from paying a septic system company to come in and solve $4,000 septic.
Is your name Mike? Who told you you could get it?
Nobody tells
okay.
me. When I went down to the building department, they look at you like you're dumb, and they hand you a packet with no information whatsoever. Nothing.
So they hand you blank paper? Or the?
No, it was the whole packet. I have a packet. And
okay.
I've been going through their steps, but they don't help you. I mean, 2 weeks ago, you would have thought so and said, hey, you know, I see you're applying for acceptance, but her change the law. No, she signs it, lets me go pay a $450 fee to have a perk test done.
You got to do that every regardless. Don't you do that on every property,
well,
Jody? Jody, do you do a perk test on every property that you put?
They do.
So whether you bought this county or any other county in Spare Property, you're going to do that.
I already bought it.
Well, there again, I can't understand. I can't wrap my head around that you come and bought a piece of property and you think you're supposed to automatically just get RV special exception. I can't.
No, I was handed a packet.
Uh-huh.
To go through this list. Well, first one on the item was a 911 address. I left 911 address.
Okay.
The second one was a driveway. So I went down to the driveway place, had to meet somebody on our land, so they told us to put a 30-foot culvert in, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Did they tell you the size of the culvert and all that and the length?
30-foot,
okay.
30-foot, blah, blah, blah. Next item on the list was septic.
Okay.
Just got to that point.
Okay, did you know where to go to get the septic permit?
I figured it out.
So anyway, you took four steps, basically. You bought the piece of property. Then you done the driveway.
My driveway.
Then you done...
I'm about $40,000.
No, is that counting your property?
Yeah.
Okay, how can we help with that?
No, I'm just saying.
I think what he's trying to say in a nutshell is that at the beginning of somehow or other didn't get said or wasn't heard or didn't listen.
I can't.
In his beginning process, he wasn't told because he went and done all this stuff, he couldn't get his RV.
Yeah.
He not only couldn't get an RV, he wouldn't have went and had the property cleared. He wouldn't have put in a driveway. He wouldn't have did all that stuff from what I'm gathering from
correct.
Him. But Leon them's office generally try to tell them, so I don't know how that ball got dropped. But
I suspect that it's just like one of the people come in front of the door and walk in there and say, I need a power pole. That's typically how that conversation starts. We need a power pole for, oh, I want to have a camper. Okay, well, you need an RV special exception. Here's the checklist, here's a packet, and here's how this works. Explain. Well, immediately, they have to go down.
Was you confused about yours when you tried to get that? I'm told.
No, sir.
You weren't confused at all about
so,
it.
So, Julie's a little rough. You know, I mean, she's to the point, but she would answer them questions. I mean, you know, she...
And helped you in any way.
She made it clear. Okay, well, I went in there looking for a pole barn permit, and she said I couldn't do it. And then I told her what my intent for the pole barn was.
Yep.
And then that's whenever she brought up the special exemption permit. She gave me a packet. She told me it was a $300 review fee. It wasn't guaranteed that I was going to get it. And then she explained that we had $1,000 impact fee, and then every year there was a $300 and some dollar
renewal fee.
She told me that I had to go get a septic tank permit. She told me where to go, down there at the health department. In other words, she walked me through it, and I had more information, and she, on my experience, was she was helpful.
Okay.
You know, like I said, a little intimidating at first. I didn't know what to do. But not really.
Yeah. Definitely shared.
But she helped you. And what else did you get? Did you get approved today?
No, sir.
You got denied, didn't you?
I got denied because my neighbors they brought up that I already have a special exemption on one of my parcels. And I didn't know that until today. You know, and that was the only problem that I had is why I wasn't told, you know, and I come in here and got all embarrassed about that, but I didn't know.
On your end, though.
Will in the end.
That's right, in the end.
Can I ask you something?
Yes, sir.
Was you clear on it when Miss Julie got through talking to you? Was you clear about what you needed?
I was. That's why
yeah.
I was up here today.
He was clear on everything.
Well, I just want to be sure.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll tell you a little story one time several years ago. My wife and I were standing there, and I was talking to a gentleman that worked for me. And when we walked away, she said, honey, you don't think you're a little rough on him? I said, baby, let me ask you something. Do you think he walked off and asked his buddy what I really meant? He said, no, ain't no doubt what you meant. Sometimes some of us would like to change the way we come across after we think about it a little bit, but as long as we're straight and honest and clear, at least the other person knows where to go and what to do.
Yeah. And I understand now from her background. Later,
yeah.
I was talking to her. She told me what
she's a very honest, straightforward person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got a young man back on the back row.
Yeah,
young man. Everybody's young.
I've kind of got the similar problem that I think a lot of these, especially this guy.
Yeah.
We bought a tract, 2-acre tract. This was back in September when we was looking at it. I go into Tony and talk to Julie, her buddy. I'm not to Julie. I haven't figured out the accent yet. But we are a Florida resident now. But I go in and talk to Julie, very helpful. She explained it all to me. She told me, give me the exemption form. Highlighted all the stuff that you've got to do about the impact fees. Mark the $300 on the top of it. Signed her name, wrote Julie at the bottom of it. Put a smile face. I still got it. Well, I was like him, I'm getting all that stuff done. We closed on the property, I think it was October 6th. My understanding is shortly after that is when somebody started raising hell about the RVs. Because I walked in, and that's what I told her. I said, we've got 2 acres. I'd like to put a pole built up, concrete it. Boy, I mean, I got a $100,000 42-foot fifth wheel with 5 slides. Not a piece of junk. 2020 model. And he said, yeah. He said, you do all this, it's fine. We close, and then a few days later, I catch the wind from Jeff Hardy. I talked to Jeff about getting the permit. We did a little bit of clearing. You know, we've been taking our time.
Yep.
I had no reason to believe that the rules was going to change. You know what I'm saying? And so we've just been taking our time to, you know, we went in, we did a little bit of clearing. I bought 5 loads of lime rock from Mr. Stevens over here. This one up and paid for the other 2 yesterday.
So we appreciate it.
Where's wire? Where's the wire, man? And,
for that,
well, is that you?
in and sits on the right. She quoted me the septic systems over the phone. The first one that she quoted me was for the RV. If I remember right, I think it was 250 feet of line and a certain gallon tank. And then she said, or she said you could go up to, was it 375?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, that'll get you up to the three-bedroom house. And I said, well, I want to do that. I said, because I'm going to build a building. And I said, I'm either going to potentially put a manufactured house out there, or hell, I might build a stick-built house. I'm not going to live in the RV, but it's a $100,000 RV. I'd like to have a place to park it so it's not in the sun. And also, along with a $100,000 truck and my car and a boat and a trailer. So, you know, there's all sorts of things. The barn dominiums, I've even been looking at those. You know, you can build the living addition on one end or across the front, the back, whatever suits you. And, but I'm in the middle. You know, I bought the land, paid to have it surveyed. That was on the list, I think, or they told me to. See, and I went to zoning first. And after that, she even suggested to me that I might want to check out the property. You know, I was trying to do my due diligence. So I left, and I come right over here and went up to the tax collector in front, showed them the plat, and they looked at all that, and they said, no taxes, no liens on it. So I called the realtor back and made an offer. Because in my head, I was good to go.
Look, with one thing cleared this up for you, everything that you just went through, if we'd have put one tidbit of information in there, and maybe we need to add it to the checklist if we continue this, is subject to board approval.
Yeah, or what I thought of, or paid from them first, is you've got to have people that are like us. We're in the loop. You know,
Put you in the loop? If you would have known that honestly everything you're doing, you still might not get approved for this RV.
That's true.
So put that number one on your checklist. All things are subject to approval from Board of County Commissioners.
I believe it says something like that. Well, it's like I told the relative.
Does it? It already says that?
This is my first rodeo in Bart.
But if we put it in writing in the pack, wouldn't that pretty well? But that would have helped you. That would have helped you too, right?
Because I paid permit first, and that would have helped.
No, we didn't charge you nothing to pick up the package, right?
No. But if you had said pay a permit, then I would have paid somebody, and somebody would have given me information.
But you would want that free, because you already spent $20-something thousand on property, right?
But it's a $300-some dollar permit.
But then you would have known that I might not get, if I could spend this money, I might not even get approval.
Yeah, I would never have done
that. Yeah.
No, I'd still be in Tampa. But I asked Julie.
And she told you?
When I was down there, I said, well, it all sounds real good. I said, when you send the letters out, and I'm assuming those are to all the adjoining
property
owners. Yeah. Well, they do that in Kentucky, too, so, you know, I know that. And I said, well, what happens when you send that letter out if you get a couple oppositions? I mean, how many oppositions is it going to take to knock me out of what I'm wanting to do? And she told me.
What?
Her answer was, we hardly ever see them turned down, is what she told me. And she said, usually, if there's a problem with one of the neighbors, she said one of the commissioners can go maybe talk to them and try to work out what the problem is. So I knew from the get-go that could be a
possibility.
Problem. But you know, you got to take a little bit of a chance in life. And you know,
how long would you plan on living in the RV before you build?
I could build a pole barn.
I'm just asking you. You said you plan on building a house or putting in a mobile. Well, how long would you go, if you've got the power on, how long would it be before you put an apartment structure?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not
same question for you, sir.
Well, I'm waiting on a hanger. I have an aviation business. I can't do anything about hangers, so I go out of county to work.
Y'all's two problems is honestly just the office at the end of the day.
I mean, to be honest, what I'd like to do first is put the utilities in and get all the utilities in, because I know it's all going to take time. And then let's see. Okay, we got to build the building first.
That's not a pole barn.
No.
Here's where I'm going with that. Here's where I'm going with that. I mean, under your building permit, if you build in a, you're talking about a barndominium, you have the minimum structure. You can get power for construction, have your RV there while you're doing the construction, the mobile barn or whatever.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to have an exemption. If the county is unique in the area that we're at,
yeah,
as far as recreation, I think we need to come up with something for people that want to have RVs that they can have it for so many months out of the year. If they go over that, then they have to build a permanent structure. Because we got to the north, we got the Maori Swamp, which is all hunting area. To the east, we got the Swanee River. To the west, we got the Senhasie River. To the south, we got the Gulf. So this is a recreational paradise where we live. There's a lot of people that's here now, because I do such things, and Jamie does well, that just came up here, had a camper originally. And then they retired or whatever, they built a home. So everybody who buys property ought to be able to utilize it. We're just trying to come up with ways to make it so that we don't get the junk and the stuff that's been happening and we're getting all these complaints. So we're just trying to figure that out. We want everybody to use their property. We're just trying to figure out a way to make it feasible to do it without creating problems for the code enforcement, for the board, and for the neighbors.
Okay. One thing, correct me if I'm wrong, your problem is you was well informed of the process. What your problem is you heard, ooh, brakes is put on, we're not issuing these no more. And you're like, oh, shoot, I just blah, blah, blah. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So your problem is completely different from his. His problem is he wasn't informed. He wasn't told what he was told, he said he was not told that, correct?
Yeah.
So actually, y'all are two completely different problems with this, so don't, y'all. Yeah.
I didn't know nothing about it. I would have put in a septic system and done it. I mean, I had money saved for a septic system.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, you was never told that someone, you couldn't apply for this without buying the property. So that's a gift. But you was never told that if you go through this checklist, you still have to, your approval is subject to Land Development Regulation Board, which is the Board of County Commission. You was never told that.
The only thing that I did, too, was when we were working out there, we didn't feel like we had to rush. I'm retired. Some days I don't feel like doing anything. So, you know, we didn't. But it felt good. We go out there and we clear some brush, party. But
so if you were told you had 6 months for an RV permit,
there was no guidelines.
But I know that I'm saying, if the county was to set some regulations and it was 6 months, we give you a permit for an RV for 6 months. After 6 months, you cannot have the RV permit. Would that change your position on what you're going to do with your property? You know, because basically, as it stands now, that's what this meeting's about, is we're trying to figure out how to set some regulations that benefit to you as a citizen, but also beneficial to the county.
Right.
Because you don't want to live next door to a 20-year-old RV that's fallen down.
No, I don't.
And, you know, it's not kept up. And Steve don't want to be running out there having to check on this 20-year permit or 20-year RV that's got a permit that no one's done anything to, and you got all these vagrants moving in and about. So what we're trying to do is,
sorry,
what, and I'm sorry because I'm not a member, as y'all know, I'm the attorney. But what I'm here to do is I'm trying to craft some rules and regulations that benefit you as a citizen, but also the board, so that we can still function, bring income into our county, keep residents in our county, but not have a transit population of RVs. You know, none of us want to live next to RVs on every corner.
Okay.
Some of us has got $30,000 homes. Some of us got, you know, $300,000 homes. But now, nobody wants a bunch of beat down RVs. We have no problem with RVs.
The only thing I think that changes is I just feel like we did our due diligence the best that we could to buy this tractor, and we bought it. That everybody was cool when the contract was signed and the loan was closed. So I feel like I could still be able to do what I wanted to do.
But you didn't buy the special permit. You bought the property.
I bought the property and Julie gave me the...
Right. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying as far as, you know, our properties don't come with special permits attached. So when you buy that property, it doesn't say that I can put an RV on it. It doesn't even say most of the time that you can put a house on it. That's up to you to check the zoning as to what kind of zone that property is in.
But what if they said, okay, well, no, you cannot put an RV on that lot, no way, no shape, no form, but you can put a mobile home. Okay? What if they tell me that I can put a mobile home, because this is the same thing? Because I might have to do that. That's what I'm trying to find out. How do I know that I'm now safe to go out here and buy a mobile home 2 weeks from now and move it in there and find out last week that the rule got changed?
First of all, ain't been no rule change.
Yeah.
This is a workshop to try to figure out how to make it work for all these county citizens. That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
And stop nothing or change nothing.
Yeah. Miss Willis.
Okay. Actually, I think there was a change effective October 6th. We had the same story, but we got our special RV construction permit approved in July. Letters went to the neighbors. Everyone's fine. We have a full construction motor home that we live in and travel around the country visiting different families. I work remotely. But we want to have a little bit of a home base. So we've gone through all the process with Julie. Yes, it was confusing, but we worked through it all. Everything's been approved and done and paid for. Land cleared. Stuff is supposed to go in tomorrow. We called today to make the appointment for the roof to put over the RV.
Pole barn.
The pole barn. A very expensive thing. We're not going to let it sit this one. And we were...
We ain't changed it yet. That's what we have in these.
No, we just kind of put a hold on.
We put a hold on
until we could all get together and figure out.
That's what we're doing now. We ain't shut it down yet.
Yeah, it ain't.
And we may not shut it down.
Well, maybe we can clarify that here today. We're here today, supposedly the final hearing on this. Maybe you can get it done. I don't know.
See, we haven't shut down nothing. I want to make sure you understand. We have not shut down. We ain't changed rules yet. We're trying to figure out the best way to go about this, because there's so many people who's not doing it correctly. We're trying to tighten our belts to make people do the right thing.
I think at that meeting when y'all voted, we decided that we're not going to set no more new applications, but we was going to follow through with the applications that was already in the works and had been
advertised.
Mr. Willis, say that again now.
If I can't park my coach under the pole barn, I go to a different account. We have wheels under us for a reason.
Yeah.
It's not a piece of plastic
to
behind
this car. But, Ms. Willis, let me ask you this, too, now. You're kind of in a different scenario than some. Some people can't afford what you got there. But, now, some people live in a $200,000 home, kind of modest home. Some people live in a lot more expensive home than some. But would you say that was your home? Would you want someone beside you like that? You're not following what I'm saying. It still depends. I think you should do whatever you want to do with your property. It's your property you worked hard for until it's detrimental to your neighbor. So if your neighbor's okay with it, I don't have an issue with it. Okay, that's fine. But the problem that we're having is we do have people that does have problems with it. Yours, did you get your RV?
I already got the special exemption.
Okay, what's the problem now? The pole barn?
Yeah. We're putting holes on the pole barn.
We're literally ready to pull out of it.
Have y'all?
I think people already have their RV exemption. And this was on my original plan. You can pull it up on the county website.
On your site plan? Did you submit a site plan?
I did.
Yeah, and it had it on there? Yeah. See, I thought, honestly, what we was going to do is not accept no more, but people like that.
Is exactly what we voted on.
So yeah. You would not accept no more from that day forward.
But if you already...
Everything that was already imparted could continue.
Yeah, that's the way I thought.
So I don't know what's happened to that. But.
Well, and I think the wording, and Leon probably can speak to this too, mm-hmm. but what we did is we instructed Leon to stop taking applications for permits. So they did not have the permit for the pole barn. They had the permit for everything else.
So let's clarify this real fast. You're not given a free blanket, you know, when you apply for the RV special exception. It's a step process. You apply for the RV special exception. When you were granted that, then you come back in and you apply for your variance for your pole barn. It's a two-step process. And so you would come back in and you would do it back through the whole advertising, you know, the whole 9 yards to get that. Has it been advertised and voted on?
They haven't even paid the capital.
I don't know where it's going to happen, but in July, actually in April, it was on the phone that I needed to do it.
I mean, that's...
I'm afraid you should do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
So... So they have to start the whole, they have, when they go in and apply for the permit for the pole barn.
It gets brought before you just like you
again.
Where it says so-and-so has applied for a variance for a pole barn on this.
You don't have to have an RV to get a pole barn.
No. Yes.
Now, if I wanted a pole barn for my house, I could go put it.
Or your house.
Yeah, or anything else. But I mean,
but,
if I wanted
but if you got vacant property, you cannot put a pole barn on it.
Without a primary residence. And some of y'all have paid an impact fee that we go through the variance process of allowing open pole barns for protection of their equipment or whatever. Now, if you change that, your rules, where if they apply for an RV special exception and it's approved, then they're allowed.
You do that, you're cutting back Exhibit A, Exhibit B.
It's a tedious process, trust me.
The pole barn gets moved to full, but the building process, the inspection, the taxes, versus somebody rigging up some kind of fence or turf.
Yeah, let me say this. I think, honestly, to me, I thought what we were stopping was, or halted, not stopping, halted, taking new RV special exceptions. Yes. That's what I thought we'd done.
I just learned about the cardboard deal today.
So, well, hold on a minute. And if y'all, you, both of y'all have went through the RV process, right?
Well, they're a few months ahead of me.
But have you got approval on your RV?
Yes, they got theirs.
The winner?
Yes, they've already got theirs.
I'm still working on the paperwork to turn it in.
So that's, you should have been halted.
Well,
I mean, because it has not yet.
Yeah.
But y'all should have, because you had the permit already. I think we stopped the problem is we stopped everything.
Yep.
The pole barn and the RV.
Yep.
See, this
so,
could have been done months ago.
Yeah.
We got waiting for land clearing to get done, other things.
Yep.
People are backed up. So
Okay. I think that's where the problem is whenever we held up or put a stop on the RV, I think, honestly, we didn't make that
clear.
Yep. Do y'all agree with that?
Yep, typically, the reason they stop both of them, typically, if you don't get an RV concession,
you can't
come out for a pole barn.
Right.
So they done got theirs.
That's where the mess up is. You already have your exception, so technically you can still apply for the pole barn. Come before us because you've already got the way we were.
And that's what she understood. I mean, in all honesty, and that's what we're saying here, is when it come out, we put a moratorium on RV.
It does.
Therefore, it was interpreted that it was a moratorium on everything. Now, associated with the RV. And unfortunately, that can't even be rectified today because we're in a workshop. So they can't vote as a board. But it is something that they may be able to come back at
a later date
and correct some of the...
A person applies for a special exception for the RV. How could we change the process where if they want a pole barn, they could apply for that at the same time? Not with it, but...
I can answer.
Also,
Leon can answer it better, but I think this is Mark Hatch. This is the way I understand it. The pole barn, if you get approved for the pole barn, we're breaking the law because there's no land use. Like the RV special exception is the land use to that vacant piece.
How are we breaking the law if we just granted them an RV?
But we did.
That's
what I'm talking about.
At the same time, we should have
done that.
The next line says we'd like to be granted a pole barn.
If we get an exception.
If we grant them an exception.
If they want exactly.
So the RV is a land use item. That's what they're going to use the land for. The pole barn is a building permit application that they're wanting the variance for because there's no primary residence there. So they're getting a variance for pole barn.
Okay.
They have a special exception for a land use to use an RV on that site. There's no permanent structure, no permanent dwelling. And now they're coming back and saying, hey, we want to build a pole barn, such a structure, you know, for this. That's why they're coming back before you.
Well, I still don't got the answer to my question. But my question is,
can you do them together?
Once we... grant the special exception.
If we back up 5 years ago, we didn't do nothing.
I understand.
I know what you're saying. Approve the land use, and then at the same time.
If you approve the land use, then there is the reason they need the bond.
Yes.
Why does it have to be 2 weeks later? Why can't it be 2 minutes later? That's what I need the answer to.
Not everyone who gets the RV permit, though, is going to get a pole barn.
Well, I understand. But that's their choice. To go for the RV permit, though, to come before the board, they can say, well, y'all, we'd like to have a permit for a pole barn, too. And why can't we do it all that same day?
We can. I mean,
we need to change it to that, in my opinion. That way, these people will know what they got and know what they want to do.
Okay, so, don't get me wrong, this makes it easier for us.
Yeah, it will. And easier for the board.
And, but, can we put a size limitation on that? You know, because, like, right now...
I have to turn in a set of plans
right. So
prior to the approval before you bring it for us.
If I say I need a barn on my property to put whatever I need to put under it, do I need an engineered plan?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I just went through that.
For a pole barn?
Yes.
True agricultural business, you have a federal ID number, it's bona fide ag. Tractors, hay, whatever's out there.
Pole barn, everything.
That's right. Yep. You know,
I'm pissed to build me one. Go ahead.
You keep an eye on this.
Please do. It'll be under M&S Pine Tree Farm. Go right ahead.
Keep an eye on
what's up with it?
Does the state make us, or make the applicant furnish an engineered plan for a pole barn?
I'm sure pole barn builders have them on
file.
Right.
So, how can we simplify this? How can we make it where we can issue the barn and the special exception the same day?
So, if they're granted an RV special exception, and you want to allow them to be able to turn around and apply for a permit for an open pole barn, then we just put it in the text.
I think that's the...
What I want to be able to do is them leave here knowing they can get the pole barn. So then, I guess we could just say, contingent on this, 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 and this, you can have a pole barn when you give me this information.
Well, no, it's real simple. They come in and say, hey, we want a pole barn. We make sure that they're current on their RV special exception, and then we process the paperwork.
But what WC's saying is, instead of having them come and get approval first, he's wanting it to come through the same time.
No, I'm not saying they don't need to get approval. I'm just saying let's do it all at the same time.
If he's saying doing all the advertising and then approve the RV, then
you have one or two that know ahead of time. But then you have many that come back later on, or they bought a piece of property that had it on there and say, hey, I want to put a, you know, pole barn in the park underneath or whatever. In those situations right there, I think that if they have an active RV special exception, then yeah, it would make it easier for us.
If they have an active RV special exception, I would want to be able to put my barn over it.
Right.
Because as them, I got two of them big daddies.
Exactly.
You know?
Well,
and I want it, and they're covered. Okay. They're going to take them.
I know exactly where.
And they want theirs covered, too.
And I
want theirs covered.
I want them to be covered, too. And paint jobs on them things are $5.
Well, I can take you to the piece of property where it's like headed to Gina on the right-hand side. The man had one of those canvas pole style tankers that we were talking about, and it damaged his RV. And he was upset about it, but at that time, we didn't allow pole barns.
All right. Just so I can catch up for a second. WC, your question is, Marquette comes in, he's got his piece of property, he wants to put an RV on it. Okay, I fill out that paperwork, and then, hey, I want to also cover my investment right here, my RV.
If I get it.
And it's on the paper right there that we've all read, that if this goes through, at the same time that everything that we do, advertising in the paper, notifying the neighbors, everything we do on this one, if everybody votes and passes this, at the same meeting, I can also submit my building for my pole barn.
Get that approved, too.
That's what I'd like to see. It'd be easier for everybody concerned.
Does that hinder any of your, hey, this is Exhibit A, this is Exhibit B, so you still have the same.
I think what Leon's trying to say, there's a way to do it, that if they have an active RV exemption, they can go to the building department and apply for that pole barn and it not have to come before the board. He can issue permits, which would simplify the whole thing.
Not that way now.
That's what we need to fix.
So, I mean, that would be...
Well, let's fix it.
No, you don't. Because what's the point? We're trying to get these RVs to go.
To go, what do you mean?
It's a vacation spot. And that's all they want to do is come up on the river and fish and move their RV every time they come and go. That's fine. But didn't we say we didn't want these RVs to turn into houses?
You can always deny it.
You're given a variance for your RV so you can get your septic, so you can get your well, right?
No, they're getting it ahead of time. Well, I understand.
You're getting a permit.
You're not supposed to get them beforehand. You're supposed to get an approval for them, have the perk test done, have all this stuff done, but you can't have all this money invested in your property before you get a building permit.
So, hang on, I want to put something right there so that it clarifies something. You go up there like Garantay Springs, and you turn back to the right, and there's a bunch of little lots along the river there. They're so low, they can't get a septic tank. So if somebody come in and said, hey, I want an RV spot right there, and we was to process their paperwork, take their money, you know, have them spend a lot of money on that or whatever, and then they come back, I can't get set that day. You should have went and gotten seen that ahead of time before you started this process. So that's why they go and get their permit ahead of time and know that they can get a set.
Didn't we say at one of the meetings that we didn't want the RVs to turn into permanent homes, and that's why we weren't going to allow the pole barn and all that, that we had to come up with a time frame from, okay, you get your RV on there, but you have this amount of time to build. If you don't build by this time, you lose your RV variance.
Well,
I understand that. Two different avenues we're looking at. What we're discussing right now is on the ones that has already been permitted. I can't force him to move.
No.
I can't force him to leave. But can I allow him to have a pole barn or not? Has nothing to do with the new ones coming in. We still got to hash that out. Right now, we're trying to figure out how the existing ones that we have in place, that we have permitted, that started in this process, just recently done this, and we're changing all these rules, don't get beat up by something. And the ones that's living out there already, allow them to be able to put a pole barn up or whatever. So we're still going to address what you're talking about, but we're talking about two separate things at this point.
See, they've already got their special exemption.
I can't
already.
Is a special exemption to always have just that RV?
Well, we can't go back and take those exemptions.
I need to revamp here on why this meeting even exists. It's my understanding that this meeting started because of campers coming that were very undesirable next to people that kept their place clean. And people were objecting to it with no doubt. And so I believe we come here to try to figure out how to limit these campers or whatever they are coming here that are really lowering property values, bad eyesores, people partying, raising sand all night, trash everywhere. It was my understanding when I walked into this meeting today, that was our big issue. And that was why a lot of property owners didn't want them there. And I understand that.
I also think that the procedure worked. And when I say that, it
100%
because they got notified. This person wants to put a camper there. It's their right to protest that. And that's what's initiated at all, is that the procedure worked.
Yeah.
If there's a breakdown in the procedure, it's after the fact of going and verifying the site or, you know, verifying that the camper is roadworthy and registered and legal. If there is a breakdown in the procedure items, I think it's in the after fact. It wasn't that they didn't get notified this camper popped up. Wouldn't even be having this meeting. Because they did.
Uh-huh.
And so I think, you know, obviously there's places that we can, you know, work on better. And like right now, if you want to try and figure out a way to say, hey, if they apply for an RV, how can they get a pole barn right there? And we have the paperwork to support us later on if Steve goes in there. That's real simple. When they apply for it, they're submitting in the survey. We already have what's the survey on that. We can do an affidavit that it's vacant property. We can put that with it. There's other ways. There's always another way. So that can be an easy fix right there. The hard part is manpower over time, verified after the fact. And if you look back 3 years ago, we didn't have a mail out list. We now can get there, but it ain't gonna be tonight, tomorrow.
Y'all, let me tell you one thing that utterly amazes me. We got a lot of people in this room, which is for a board meeting or work, especially a workshop. It's at a board meeting. I'll say that too. We got a lot of concerned people. Every one of y'all is trying to do the right thing. Every one of y'all. Y'all ain't the problem. The problem is the ones where you get your black eyes, the people that's not in this, because they don't give a dang about this. The that's what kind of irritates me a little bit is y'all trying to do the right thing, really and truly. Everybody's sitting there trying to do the right thing. So we've got to figure out a way to make this work for the people that's doing the right thing and punish the people that's not doing the right thing. That's where the problem to me lies.
Yeah, like I said on the phone the last meeting, the problem is the people that don't do the right thing.
We got
the criminals are running the world these days. There's no consequence for wrongdoing. And it don't matter, camper, junk car, whatever, that's not supposed to be there as part of the wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're having to be here, and these people having to worry about whether they ever going to be able to do what they want to do because of the people that don't care about what they do.
Here's
and
a lot of help right there with the changing of code
enforcement being able to issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that right there is going to go a long way because you don't have to wait on a written complaint. Yeah. But, Leon, correct me if I'm wrong. We got 20, or Steve, he's code enforcement man. Code enforcement man. You got 27 violations in RVs. In RVs, how many do you have in RVs that we got? This is our number. The last number I heard was 27.
No, I think I got around 67.
Okay, how many of them actually has?
Single ones.
Yes.
Around five, and that's them putting multiple RVs on.
That's even better. You made this even better.
Yeah.
So we got 60. That is.
Just breaking.
You're going to see them, or you're going to see at least 55 of them, regardless. So you're going to have 55, irregardless, people that breaking the law versus the five that you can go there and say, hey, we'll pull this exception for you. We'll turn your power off. You better get that other RV out of here. You can set nice for that. And you actually got some law-abiding citizens that it's kind of stretching the rules a little bit. But once you go there and say, hey, I got a complaint here, you signed this paper, it's one RV. Now, this is what you got X amount of days to correct this. How many of them people actually do correct that? Okay. Case closed. We're going to have them 60 irregardless whether we approve them, we have a program that works or not. Right or wrong?
We're still, we got it done all the time. All gritters just pulling campers.
That,
and
we're going to have that.
That's a big,
they're not coming to see us or
big problem to this whole process is the people come in there and hook up their generators. I don't give a damn. I ain't got no electricity for you to turn off. You know? And I mean, there's a lot of them. And buddy, they ain't nothing pretty where they sit.
How can we fix
it? How can you fix
that? Part of it is with ordinances. You know, you have to give Steve what he needs to be able to enforce that. Because right now, we don't have anything there stopping or prohibiting that activity. You know?
I can testify to that, you know. I've seen people going down the road, but the whole side fell off of it. It didn't work out.
A while ago, didn't I hear your wife say something about y'all travel with us?
Yes, we're full-time. This is our home.
Yeah, but you're not planning to stay there full time?
About 12 months out of the year, we come
y'all. Yeah.
They'll definitely be in the winter months.
Yeah, but they are, eventually they're going to make this their home.
We are
going to.
And that's also on the same plan that I turned in for DRV permit. Got a house and a cold barn.
Well, you know, we have a lot of undesirables, and I ain't singling no one out. That will come here with a $200 camper, if it stays together, and drags up there, and, you know. If somehow part of that process was, you got 30 days to get you a barn over this camper, them wouldn't come.
Exactly.
Them would never show up.
Exactly.
You know, you put certain things in front of it that you have to do. And why would anybody object to a nice camper coming with a barn over it? I can't see nobody object because they know them people are going to keep the area looking nice. So that's just another thought or food for thought for about this pole barn thing.
Young man,
go
ahead.
So,
No, that's a joke.
Yeah, I understand. But I've been coming here my whole life. And to have the opportunity to buy something here is just something I always wanted to do. So I heard that up here in Dixon County, I could get an RV lot. I was on the market an RV lot. Got it paid for, and I've been saving up my buckets trying to get me the next step. So I went over there to Leon. Now, let me back up just a second. I also talked to a buddy of mine about this place. It's a great place. So he put in an application for a special exemption on a piece of property that had already had an RV on it, already had all sorts of stuff.
Got shot down.
Nobody had shown up here to, nobody had said anything in his behalf. And so he just did what it is. He got rid of his lot, but again, he lives on the other side of the state. I want to be able to come up here and touch hunting and fish and one thing and another. So I bought my lot, and I went the other day, and I was going to get a, and I was helping my buddy do his stuff. So I can tell you that Leon, he tells you, you know, it might not happen, but it's got to go before board. He told me all the different stuff that was going on. That's fine. So I went the other day, I was going to start the process. You got to get a driveway. I went and said, well, you can't get a driveway. I know you said it. I can go ahead and get the driveway, but I might not get the other stuff. So I'm not going to throw good money after bad. I'm not going to buy a pig in a poke. I love boiling it off the bone early. But it's my idea that I wanted to buy this lot, and I was going to put a nice fence around it, and I was going to put a pole barn on it, and I was going to be able to put my RV under it. And when I come and go, that's what I thought I was going to be able to do. It's cheaper RV lot. I keep my stuff nice. Go to my house, my yard is mowed, my fence is painted, all that kind of stuff. I don't have junk laying around. And this is a sportsman's paradise. Now, I've driven around all these dirt roads back there, and Lord knows, there's cabins and there's a boat back there I think people are living in. But there's all sorts of different things, and I'm trying to do this in a limited way. So I would like to know, or maybe I won't know, but when I will be able to move forward with getting the permit so I can go all the way through.
To start the process.
So I can start the process. And I won't be able to get, I'll be able to be on sewer and water over where I am. So, it's a little bit different than having to get a
septic. Now, from a permitting aspect, I've got a question. Of course, y'all look at me like I've got two heads sometimes, and I don't know all answers, but I promise. If we had a packet, and I know the commissioners has mentioned this, and our ordinance that says if you want a special permit, you must have a driveway, you must have a septic tank, you must have this, you must have that. But you apply for your special permit first. Now, the special permit could come before the board or approve it or deny. It would be held in abeyance in your office until such time as X, Y, and Z had been accomplished. Is that something that could be done?
We're not going to hold nobody's paperwork.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, you don't want to issue as the board, they don't want to issue it outright until such time as everything is in place, which is what we wait on you to do. But then as a citizen, they want to make sure that if they get this permit, or they can't get this permit, that they haven't put the money out. So that's what I was trying to see, is this, was there an avenue.
Little packets were being held, and we don't have air. That's why we stopped taking in complete stuff. We tore all that from the counter. Purposely made it so that we could
When I say hold it, I don't necessarily even mean you would have to hold physical documents, because we've got records. Just like all of these special exceptions and resolutions and all that, they're in the system. So we know if the permit's been approved. But likewise, they couldn't put their RV on it. Or maybe it's, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to figure out a way that, you know, we could make it all work for both sides.
I see what you're saying, Shanna. I truly do. But there again, I don't know how many times or how many lots is out there that really and truly they can't do the right thing with. And the right thing with is home, mobile home, whatever. So what this is a recreational permit, a land use permit that they're, so I don't know if that's there. It's just a roll of the dice. I think it's on that piece of paper I passed down and all y'all read that it's duly noted that this is a land use subject to approval from Board of County Commissioners.
Yeah, because we're not adding no more to the process than if they was going to permit a mobile home.
Right. So
they still have to
go and
get a set of
permits. Everything they spend money on, they can still use.
Right.
I got one question for you, Mr. Mike. You said you was actually going to do all this process and put an RV. Was you planning on living in that, or were you planning on, what was your plan? Building a house eventually?
I said he was waiting on a hanger.
Waiting on a hanger? Well, we can help you there, hopefully, one day. Can we?
He'll be able to. Miss Martha's going to get his information before he leaves.
Okay, but
next available one, he'll be gone.
But is it long-term on a house or short-term or what?
It's for me for maintenance.
No, I'm talking about home.
You'll have a maintenance. Well, I've been waiting.
All right,
but it'll be permanent. I'm
a supporter. Right, but you're saying a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years before you build a house? A year? Why don't you just submit house plans and do what you want to do with your property?
I plan on putting in a septic. But I
Jody, tell him, because you explain it better than anybody, tell him what he needs to do there. Because I've heard you say it a dozen times about you don't need the RV special exception to do.
Well, if you're building a home, you can apply for the building permit, turn it into Leon, he approves it. He'll issue power, and you can live on the property as you're building the home.
With your camera.
You only have to make an inspection one every 6 months.
You got to have a passing inspection
every 180 days. I mean, you could per se, if you're actually building a home, you could live in an RV for a couple of years before the home is actually finished. But, I mean, that's an avenue to get the power, and all you're going to have to go through the special exception. Like the gentleman in the back talked about building the barnuminium. It's got the enclosed in, all that is submitted, and it's through him that all that meets the wind codes and all that stuff, and the minimum square footage, same scenario. Get the power, we're not even have to get all the exception, as long as you build the minimum square footage that's required by the county.
Just to say, I think I'm a pariah because I'm exactly what you probably don't want.
And the town of Swanee, you are what they want. The gentleman that's over that sewer water board down there, that is their special area down there, and a lot of the new, most of the new ones that went on the sewer and water was RVs, and that helped keep that plant
running,
working. And he was begging to the board to take special consideration for the town of Swanee, being the sewer and water plant is down there. Because some of those lots are not big enough to build houses on. And some of them, I mean, it's just more of a recreational, and they do generate funds for the sewer and water plant.
And in most counties, they have special RV residential areas. I mean, they're RV parks, basically. People live there year-round. And that's kind of why I think Swanee's got an area designated similar to.
Like I was saying earlier, if we do any, I would like to see it. I want people to be able to utilize their property, being where we're geographically located. I mean, recreational-wise or whatever, if you do anything, I'd like to see it where so you could have an RV there for 6 months out of the year, you know, and keep your special, as long as you didn't stay for 6 months out of the year. If you did more than 6 months, then yes, you probably need to build a home or something on there. But have it where people can use their property because, I mean, we are a recreational community. I mean, that's what a lot of us do. So
and that's what we've got and what I was saying.
And a lot of our residents started out in the RV hunting and fishing up here. And then wound up
here. Sarah?
When I first started this whole process, I was not against RV lots. I have RV lots for sale in the other county, so that would be a hypocrite of me to be against RVs in Dixie. So the reason that I started having an issue is when things were pushed for overgrowth, in my opinion, because we needed revenue. So all I want is money for the county. And I think a lot of the members of this county want that as well. So if we, unfortunately, we have the, sorry, I lost my train of thought, the reputation of being a cheap county, and a lot of them are poor-minded, and we're getting other undesirables from other counties because they have a no policy at all for RV. So we are getting them from our county. But if we continue to be cheap-minded, poor-minded, we're not going to be better than that. I would never live anywhere else but where I live now, and I want to protect what I have. I would have no problem if you do a $300 fee and let them know, hey, it's tip for tat, it depends on the day, it depends on your neighbors, you may or may not get it, but then have their yearly taxes, their yearly renewals, jack that up, because I don't have a $100,000 boat. I don't have a $100,000 or $20,000 buggy. I mean, we don't have those things. We have priorities in life. Anything that me and my husband, I'm hitting, makes money. These other generations, they have toys. They have, you know, it's a different thinking process. Okay? So some of the people that are coming in my district, they have the money. So they want that $30,000, $50,000 pole barn. You know, so a $300 a year just for the renewal fee, when I'm having to pay thousands of dollars in property tax because I do have a very expensive home, we would lose a lot of that undesirable if things were comparative to the real world. I mean, taxes here are so cheap. Impact fees, and I've talked to Dwayne about it. I think last year you had over 900 permits, right, or something like that. That was a boom, okay? We could have jacked up the impact fee temporarily so that we could increase some business minded and get that capital, okay? So then when we go in a recession, we bring it back down. I talked to Dwayne about it, and he said, well, we want it so our kids can afford the bills. Well, let me tell you, when I had a bachelor's degree, my very first bachelor's degree, I made $14 an hour as a professional. Now they're flipping burgers for $14 an hour. So we need to go with the times and start thinking business-minded. But I think a lot of people in the community, they're not against RVs, and they want your money. We live in a tourist town. We want your money. We want you to come. We want you to love the resources like we do. But we want you to foot the bill just like we foot the bill. So your taxes should be like our taxes. So if we can come next time when you start to see a rise in your business permit, let's think about, do we need to increase the impact fee? Do we need to increase their yearly renewal? The $300, I'm okay with, because that's throwing it away if you guys deny it. But the renewal fee, that needs to be way more. My opinion.
What you suggest?
No, let me tell you what we've done. What has happened is actually this board did discuss about raising the, during the boom. We did talk about that, but we just never did act on it. Remember? Y'all remember us doing that? So it was, and I agree 100%. And in 2009, I think, I was one of the ones who voted to lower it because we did. We did take a nosedive. And so we changed the impact fees then, too. I think we do need to adjust them. I brought it up, and we all discussed it, and we're just busy, basically. And we lost money. But I think if you look back, honestly, I think with what Leon has done and what this board has done, they have made significant changes to the RV special exception. Going back to, it used to just be, what, $150, period. And then we changed it to $300 with a every year renewal. And the reason we went to $300 was our special exception was $180. Whenever we raised that from $180 to $310, well, our RVs went cheaper again because there's 7% of our county, that's all they pay, and it's $310, which it was $180. So we doubled that assessment, basically, for RVs, and then we put it on a renewal thing. And now, Dwayne, correct me, this is, now we're adding that $310 on top of the $300, so it's not $610.
So you listen to the man, no offense, I mean, my mom's from Kentucky, so she's probably mad at me, but he has a $100,000 vehicle. You saw, I mean, can you afford more than $600 a year for taxes for the residents to be okay with your year?
I can.
I said I cannot. You cannot? No. You're going to have all this structure.
Well, if they just want to stay on the property and be left.
That's your question.
Are you going to start appraising his $100,000 motorhome for a $100,000 house? Because that's going to be $1,500 a year in taxes. So we need to have a process. If you've got a 20-year-old camper compared to a $100,000 one that ain't no different than a $100,000 mobile home or house, then they should pay the $1,500 a year taxes like I do.
Then why would we buy a house?
That's not my problem. I just want equal opportunity. I love to fish and hunt and do, I love it here. I'm not from here. But I'm staying here, and I'm going to do what these people tell me, what I have to do, and what ordinances they have, and what taxes they tell me to pay.
It's ridiculous to think you can tax an RV like a house.
It's not. It's $100,000. It's mobile. I guess you can pack mine up if you have to and jack it up. But if the value's $100,000, if the house is $100,000, it should be equivalent.
One at a time.
We need money. We need money. We need to start taking money. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
Still
trying to figure out how long.
I wasn't at the meeting.
But is this the gentleman that made the statement he was going to close his old one?
I don't think so.
No. Go ahead.
He wanted to put a pole barn over top of his RV.
You want to put a pole barn over top of your RV?
Yes.
He's going to one that got held up with the process.
Okay. Well, a bunch of them might have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just have to wait and see.
That's what we're discussing right now.
Okay.
You're not the only one.
Okay. I just want to kind of rebuttal with the lady and maybe try to get a clarification, because it's a little confusion. It's simple, but it's very confusing, but there's a lot of people doing a lot of different things, even though it's generally the same thing. Some gentlemen have a $100,000 big truck and RV, and they need a bigger barn. Some people come and go. I asked earlier, is this about the age of the RV? Somebody says it's about the value of stuff, which actually on Bridge County. The whole object is a lot of people are veterans, a lot of people work hard and then make a lot of money, and it's $300 a year RV exemption, and you play by the rule, and you want a pole barn, maybe, or not. Should be able to do it either way. We understand you can, but it's a variance to put a structure up when you have an RV lot. So I get it. And it's a vote, and it's approval. And if there's a neighbor or somebody that denies it, well, you should at least be told why. You should at least be, you know, able to talk to the person. And I heard a gentleman's name that's sitting around the board, and I'm not going to say, I don't know who voted or the whole board denied me, and another gentleman, which one it was, I don't know, so I got some information from zoning. Some people are handicapped. Some people are disabled. Some people have issues. The point is, you're doing RV lots, $300 a year exemption, so a retired old person that doesn't have a lot of income can at least afford to park halfway decent RV on a lot if it's got to apply for an exemption or the one's already on there. Thank you, Ms. Julie, for hunting that out for me. Save me a little money in time. Not a lot. An inspector for the zoning office, which grew this whole county up for a long time. It cost guys lightning time, which is money. I'm sitting in an RV park. I got to use an RV. It's not brand new. It's not going to get newer out in the sun. I get all my property. I bought properties with you. I got some cash.
cash. I get checks for my stuff. I can do that, no permit. I want to get, if I can, I file for a variance for a full one. Now, whether it matters if somebody lives here year-round or comes and goes in the RV, it does not matter. Somebody wants to sit here in an RV.
Do you live in an RV?
Sir.
Do you live in an RV?
Well, yeah, I call it a camper because it's kind of small and single old guy. I don't need a big house.
That's fine.
Okay, I lived in RVs off and on, but where I asked the realtor, where can I RV, permanent?
To live in.
I RV from someplace in Florida, if you come. I understand some other counties have some kind of RV lots, but it's got to be more expensive. This is about a person following the rules and having something halfway decent that isn't pure junk. They're not running a whatever party shack, hanging out in an RV until you're gone.
Yeah.
Now, is there one person or 10 people? How many RVs? Okay. One RV, one's in pole barn. You going to put anything else up? Maybe another variance for a second pole barn. I don't know. That's up to you guys. And it's time. And basically, someone like myself, these folks got money up invested, and they're all ready to go. Everybody's at different points. Somebody's got money sitting paid for a pole barn, and call them an RV for it. It's not going to be enclosed. I'm going to turn it into a shack cabin.
It's just a shit. All you want is just a pole barn, just to put your camper underneath it.
3 minutes and done went way overdue. I said, your 3 minutes is way overdue. We need to move along.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm
saying. My pole barn is paid for. I'm waiting for.
I understand.
Okay.
I don't even have an issue, but I was questioning, is it a zoning issue? Is it someone voting me down in their neighborhood? That I got denied. I don't understand why my pole barn variance got denied. That's my reason for being here today.
So you've already applied for and got denied.
Yes, sir.
Okay, when did you get denied?
Last meeting.
Last meeting. When you wasn't here.
When I wasn't here, yes.
Which district is he in? Well, there was two that got... They was two.
Was it mine? I'm pretty sure.
They was two.
What do you
denied.
What's the address?
You denied one and I denied one.
What's your address?
380 Southeast 917.
You in Swan Gardens?
Sir.
Are you in Swan Gardens?
That doesn't sound good. That's no man. Why'd you deny it?
As a matter of fact, I don't remember, but I'm sure I had a good reason. Now, I can't remember back that far sometimes.
But that's what we was...
It was probably opposition. Opposition. Opposition.
Someone didn't want you to have it there, your neighbors. Yeah, he wasn't at the meeting. And where?
Oh, that is correct. I think, if I remember right, you denied it because he wasn't at the meeting.
Might have been.
He didn't.
I was on the phone. I wasn't at the meeting either. I was on the phone. And typically, if the petitionee or the opposite side ain't there, I'm going to deny every one of them. If it's not important enough for who wants it to be there, then...
I popped in or I called and I asked what I need to be at the meeting.
We are still working on this, sir, okay?
But let me say this. Let me say this.
Yeah.
What you're doing... Can you hear me?
No,
turn it on. Here's a squeaking by.
You turn his on.
What you're doing is exactly what we're trying to stop. Living in RVs. That's recreational vehicles. That's what we're trying to stop.
But literally, that's what we're doing. We got people that's living all around in the county. I'm all for you using your property, but not to live in. That's am I right or wrong? Is that what?
That's what it started all about.
Yeah.
So many people living in RVs.
Forever.
Like Sarah said, she pays her fair share, but they pay hardly anything. I understand that. And if y'all remember right, on the phone last meeting, it was my opinion that the only thing's going to maybe fix a lot of this problem is getting both sides equal to what they're getting and what they're paying. Don't throw no eggs or nothing like that, but I understand everybody, even me, don't want to pay no more than I have to.
You're changing the rules.
I ain't changing no room. Let me. Will you hush and let me talk? Come on, buddy. My point is, $300 or $600 is not very much money at all to have a recreational vehicle anywhere you want to have it. And I ain't trying to be the bad guy. I'm just trying to be real. Until it's cost a person what is fair for everybody else concerned, we don't be doing this the rest of our life. Now, if I'm going to stay in my motor home, most time it's $180, $200 a night. So, and I choose to stay there because that's where I want to stay. I don't want to stay down the road at the $20 a night place. And I know this gentleman don't want to do that either. But all I'm saying is, you've got to make it fair for everybody concerned. And I know every one of you has a home somewhere, and y'all don't want an old RV pulled up there paying hardly anything at all, and you're paying thousands of dollars every year. I know I don't. But here we are.
And I don't understand what. See, you're not getting enough out of the RV lots, but the point is it's legal, and I'm trying to make it even go with a lot of people in the middle of the process. I'm bigger. I got my little campers and all around. Now it's not junk.
We're trying to make it where everybody concerned is okay with it, can live with it. That's what we're trying. We're not trying to do anything to anybody other than make sure that person and the next person understands it and is okay with it. You know, we got to represent everybody.
Point is, you had a rule, RV lots, you have an exemption. You can have an RV on that lot for life.
If you get the exemption.
I had one. It was already on.
Did
you already come before this board and get your special exception?
Yes, we got one.
Okay, for the RV.
Did you renew it?
Did you get an exception for whatever else it is you want?
That's like for a variance.
Yeah. But you haven't got it yet. Well, that's what we're all trying to figure out, how to make everybody happy and everybody get what they want.
This gentleman here says he wants to stop me living on the property.
I won't. No.
You want me to stop living on my property? Say it again.
I know you're
denying my rights through the RV lot and city, which I already
ruled. The rules in Florida for RV recreational vehicles are that you can't live in it year round. It has to be moved every 180 days. That's
the Florida rule. Well, that's not his rule. It doesn't say how long you have to be gone, does it? See, under my place, a lot of places have RV lot rules. You can live in your campus so long while you're building. I'm old and I don't need to build. I don't want to build. I want to just let my RV go fishing, whatever, go for a ride. Maybe I'll move it and go for a trip somewhere. I've been everywhere.
Can I ask you something? Why did you wind up in Dixie County wanting to do it? Well, I heard you say a while ago why you wound up in Dixie County with your camper.
Well, it's the only place that I was told you can leave an RV.
There you go. With exception. Everywhere else, it all came from a fly for.
What happened? You trying to take?
We got another young lady back here on the back row that wants to speak.
I was just going to address kind of those situations. If you're going to build, get your building permit. I've been in planning and engineering for 17 months. That's how long it takes now. 20 years ago, it took me 30 days to get plans, and it was a huge house. And it took me maybe 2 weeks to get my permit. It's not like that now. So if you're going to build, go ahead and start working on it now. Your planning and your engineering is going to take you to the right. So I'm building 1,600 square foot house. Nothing. But I don't want people living in RVs. Hear me. Neither do my neighbors. So there are some out there, but they're really nice. So maybe put an age definition on it and a time definition. You already set the space.
So you have to move it every 6 months.
Yes, the definition of recreational
vehicle is not to be moved in. What do we issue?
Recreational vehicle.
That's what I thought.
So when I have the properties here, the new guys that are putting in the pile holes with their $100,000 RV, the rest of it, I mean, but the majority is kind of a shithole area. These guys are actually making it nicer than what a lot of the areas are.
But that's
just
not
saying.
The general.
Well, that's you've got all of these, as you said, shithole of areas.
The nice ones with the new people moving in with the $100,000 RV.
And he's got a permit. And he's working on, you know, the issue he's got is totally different than what the other issues to address that. But these others, and like you say, that's the problem. Those are the ones that we're saying 6 months.
Mike, what was your last name? Mike, what was your last name?
Tiger
spell it?
T-E-A-G-E-R.
What's your address?
240 Northeast, 543rd Street.
540?
Yeah.
Is that who your commissioner is? Please say Marquette.
G-G.
Okay.
Where do you live in Watson Homestead then?
I'm going to help you out with that shithole. Help you out with that shithole.
Hey, we got a young man right back here on the back. Want to speak again?
I think I'm more confused than I was when I come in. All right, so I know you're not making any rules today.
Yeah, we can't vote on nothing today.
Laws or whatever you want to call it. You know, a guy like me that's sitting here in the hanging in the loop, that's already bought the land and still got the paperwork waiting to handle. What would you say is the safe time frame for me to know when
we our next meeting is when?
17th.
The 17th. We have another meeting.
Yeah.
We may vote on this then. I don't know that. But you already told me you plan on building a house.
I plan on building something. Yeah.
And the others done told me they're gonna plan on building a house. Right now, they just traveling, so they're not going to be living in that motorhome on their property all year long here in Dixie. They're going to be traveling.
Well, I am.
That same same way.
I'll probably be in Texas for a winter.
Yep.
Then, you know, yeah, something to protect our investment.
That's exactly right.
A roof over it, nice-looking property. But if I have to put something on there, that, you know, I can build a 800 or 1,000 square foot living quarters. You know, this is what we got to do to know your work.
But
we can't.
Yeah. But we can't. Like I said, we can't build on nothing until the 17th.
I think what we can do though is we can clear this up.
Yeah.
We already voted on it. I think we can make. Trying to correct me if I'm wrong, but if you've got an RV,
already,
that Leon can go through the pole barn, because that is not what we intended.
Exactly.
We stopped accepting RVs.
Right? We stopped special exemptions for RVs.
That's what I wanted to check, and Paul pulled it up for me over there. He said that we put a moratorium on RVs.
The special exemptions.
We did not, y'all did not vote on
shutting down the pole barn.
Other than RVs.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So I think, you know, with that being said, that's not changing anything, and we're not taking a vote on it.
To kind of recap, we talked about a lot between the two workshops.
Tomorrow, I suppose he's still here.
Yeah. Putting the verbiage in for tagged, legal, roadworthy RV. And the verbiage for open pole barn, should it get, you know, should they have an active RV special exception? The other thing the ministry has talked about is, you know, the renewals are going to be mailed out this month. Renewals coincide with the tax bill. They have all the way until April. So one of the items that, you know, we've talked about is the after fact, the checking of everything. And we believe that we're able to complete a site visit for every one of the renewals prior to April, because that's when they should have all the renewals paid. In April, I would be able to give you exact numbers, statistic numbers, saying this is how many active sites we know is here based on site visits. This is how many renewals that we've collected, and here's where we're at.
Maybe we can break the rules also.
Yeah, we could look at that too, and we could initiate some of the cases right away. Something to ponder. I know you'll have a lot to think about, but that's the items that, is there anything else that I need to be?
Can
be approved by the board?
Yeah. Actually, well, that piece of paper, I think what you're talking about, Ms. Barbara, is whenever you come in to pick up your packet, that it says, and I read that already, they already handed that out.
Okay.
It's on the bottom of the packet.
It's real simple. We get a reading sign form. They can miss all the rules. They go right in their packet. That's real simple. We can fix that immediately.
Yeah, and I think we do need to do that, irregardless.
I just want to say one thing on this whole deal. Perfect. One thing Mr. Ross said, that Dixie County, Ford County has taken everything to get or whatever. Actually, Dixie County set the bar. A lot of meetings I went to in reference to the RV side of it. Most all the counties have set RVs. Taylor County has 4 per lot, where Dixie only allows 1. None of them have any kind of stipulation set up for renewals or anything on how we're trying to collect funds on the RVs to put back into the county. They're all asking me how we've done that. So the county's making strides in this area. So, you know, the county ain't quite as dumb and poor as they think we are. We're trying to do the best we can. And like I said, we're making headway where some of the other counties are saying, hey, how'd y'all do that? Or how are you going about that? So, It ain't like we're not doing anything. We're moving on forward.
I recognize I'm a little bit different than some of these other folks, and I thought maybe I might be able to haul the trailer up here for first phase of the touch season. That's going to happen. Do you have any idea when I might be able to start?
At that next meeting, we'll be able to know something at that point, sir.
Next meeting, we can vote on something. We can't vote on nothing.
Can't vote on anything today.
This is a workshop. At the next meeting, we'll have a decision.
You have your special exception, sir. You can do whatever with your RV as long as you stay in state compliance. It's got to be moved on and off every 100
days. I can't tell about moving off and on.
Well, you know something on the full barn short. All right.
If I could ask also for the Airbnb, do they Airbnb, should I just get with Dwayne to get direction as to where? I've got the name.
Go to the next meeting to be able to set a standard or set something to for them to have to get a business license for that.
I think that they could have conversations kind of like Leon, just trying to get a direction, what to present to the board to vote on. And that's what you're wanting, a direction
right to
where to go. But I think he's headed to Kentucky, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay. I think on the Airbnb, we had talked about having like a local business license,
as well as the state license. And
well, I'd mention that if they get a business license to the county, they have to have
the state license
as a requirement to even apply to the county.
And then they would have an annual renewal.
And then if you have a problem with it, then the Division of Hotels and Restaurants would be more or less the policing agency and not put any more load on our code.
But I think we'll have to have some code enforcement. So as far as that goes, as far as it...
Well, like I say, if it goes that way, if they're under the Division of Restaurants and Hotels, then generally if you got a complaint, it would go to them first, let them have it. So they got stiffer fines and we got more bites.
Exactly.
And then if we go to Steve to alleviate...
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to have to ask
you. What I'm saying is they don't receive the county...
I got another meeting to be at.
I've gotten names from people that might, have had some experience that would say they would be willing to help me with.
Anybody
else? We got anybody else?
17th. Morning.
In the afternoon, 6 o'clock, right here.
6 o'clock.
Right here. Do what? When we haven't got one scheduled yet. Our next meeting is the 17th at 6 o'clock here. Y'all get up with Leon right now.
Did you want to speak, sir, to get opportunity, or?
Well, I have an issue that is pertaining to your area. I live in the Crown subdivision. When my wife and I bought 4 years ago, we did all our due diligence to find out what you could and couldn't do in the Crown subdivision because, we wanted to know what the rules and regulations were. Don't know anything about the rest of the county. We were focusing on where we were thinking about moving. There's a whole set of bylaws that were written there. Those are being filed with the county. And then there's zeros and doubles. There are rules about going in and clear-cutting your property.
The problem that happened with that is no one renewed those. Y'all can go back and renew those, and then y'all can implement that in that.
So there's no homeowners association, which we didn't know at the time. We should have probably did a little due diligence on that also. But that's all getting to, we live in a block home. Zillow just gave us an appraisal of about somewhere between $260,000 and $290,000 is what our home is worth. So when people come to us and they say, or we see the sign on the side of the road that says that somebody wants to put an RV here. I got nothing against RVs. I got nothing against mobile homes. But the thing about it is, what's my property value going to be if you put a $100,000 camper trailer, motor home or whatever, next to my property? That's going to drive my property value down.
Because,
That's
what we're working on.
$100,000, but my house is going on $300,000. That's going to drag my property value down. So that's why I vote, I call, I do whatever I got to do to stop somebody from moving an RV into my area because they just don't belong there. And I just want to make sure that because I want it to be understood that in a craft subdivision, every time I see one of those signs go up, I'm going to be on the phone calling whoever I need to call to stop it.
Mr. What did you say your name was?
Mike Flynn.
Mr. Mike. Whenever you called on one of them yellow signs that you're saying, has this board ever passed an RV?
Well, that brings up another question. There were two that were turned down, but there was one that was just approved. So how did
you in your area?
Did you oppose it?
Well, I was gone at the time, and the sign was up. And when I got back, it was but the date on the sign when you were supposed to call in.
So that one slipped by you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because he was out of town?
Yeah.
Okay. This board always votes with opposition. So that was, you answered my question. We done what we were supposed to do. We notified the adjacent neighbors. We posted the sign. And you even said you'd ride around in that neighborhood if you see one, you oppose it, right? And the two that you have opposed has been shut down.
Correct.
Okay. So that's what this board's doing. It's going with opposition in your neighborhood. Your neighborhood's protected. Sorry you was out of town for probably 2 weeks.
I was out of town for a couple of months.
Okay, so that one slipped by you. Sorry.
But I just, you know, I understand that. I thought maybe it was an exception if people were going to put an RV in there and they were going to build a home and then the RV would go.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe that's why you gave them the approval, but I don't know.
Leon can probably tell you how to address that subdivision.
Well, I also want to articulate that I think the situation will get better. We have the commission board and the land development board, because then you're now going to have another set of eyes that they're not having to worry about commissioner items, but strictly with just the items right here. And I think you'll find that that'll make your job easier and help the citizens too. I think it's going to be a win both ways. I know we don't have all the answers today, but we're getting there. And I think that's what's going to happen anyway.
You swallow it, you can still breathe. True fact.
Where will it be stipulated that the person asking for the exception and the opposition to appear as a working?
Leon, you can put that in your amendments also, can't you?
Now they both have to be here present.
Any opposition and the petitioner needs to be present.
And if there's opposition, need to personally appear.
Yes.
And if the opposition can't, then that's what the certified letter thing that he's talking about.
Then they need an affidavit.
So if you oppose it, you need to attend a meeting.
Or
an affidavit.
Or a certified letter.
Now, we ain't voted on that. That ain't in stone.
That's
what these workshops are for, to get ideals.
Or they can call in, correct? Is there an opposition?
I don't see why not.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is that good with you? Anything else?
We got anything else? I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
We got a motion. Second. Yeah.
All in favor?
All in favor.
You didn't
know that? No, I didn't. I never did.
I earned my money. Yeah.